You're listening to Full Credit to the Boys on Eon Sports Digital Radio in every capital city in Australia, and also available wherever you download quality podcasts, and probably Mamma Mia ones too. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Penrith coach Anthony Griffin is getting a little sleepy. Mitchell Moses explores cross-dressing. And Jack Bird flies the coop. Oh, God. You're playing games with my heart. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at @FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at @former_legend. Bird flies the coop.
Oh, quality. Quality. What a great headline.
Don't talk till I introduce you.
Oh, sorry.
Now, to my right is a man who hid the next door kid's Easter eggs behind the hot water system and in the oven, dressed only in a robe and a crown of thorns. And you can find him on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's been nominated for a Logie in the new category of Best Actor in a Revenge Porn Video.
It's good just to be nominated.
Welcome, Sid.
Thank you. Can I talk now?
No.
Oh.
What's going on?
Ah, mate, same old with me.
Good Easter?
Yeah, was it Easter?
Had some eggs by the look of it.
Yeah. Thank you. I've got to go back to the gym. It's been 9 years.
Now, listen, before we get into it, I read a story this week that just made me laugh. Justin Hodges has revealed that back a few years when Ricky Stewart was a Rooster and in charge of the Roosters, he took all the players out for a meal and a beer during pre-season training. Story has it is that they had a long slog of off-season training, and at the end of the week, Ricky said, "Listen, boys, you've really dug in this week. I really want to show my appreciation, so let's go out for a meal and a couple of beers."
Nice.
So away they went, and as it was, Ricky said, "Boys, just keep drinking. No dramas. It's all on me. We'll go back to the bar at the hotel. Until the bar at the hotel closes, we can just keep drinking." So they keep going. Midnight, they roll into bed. 10 past midnight, Ron Palmer comes up and knocks on all the players' doors and says Ricky wants them all downstairs with their running shoes on.
You're joking.
And immediately they start doing hill work. Now, Ryan Cross, who's a bit of a friend of the show, says he was that out of his mind that Hodges said they had to carry him up the hills. But one thing I've got to know, Sid, how dumb are footballers that they believe that Ricky Stewart would be a good enough bloke to go, get on the beers, have a steak, no dramas, I'll fix it up.
Well, I don't know what's worse, punishment, the hill runs or being forced to have a beer with Sticky? But what's the worst thing that a coach has ever done to you? Do you have any similar stories?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I tell
without
you.
Notice, sorry.
Back in the day, it was about my second year in.
Yep.
We were 4 rounds into the season. I reckon I'd made about 4 tackles in 4 rounds.
Yeah.
Probably one of my better years, to be honest. And we're at halftime at a game. It might have been at Brookvale. And coach said at halftime he just started tearing strips over everyone. And then he looked over at me and he said, "The only reason you're here in Sydney is because the recruitment manager wanted to root your mum." And I was like, oh, geez. And then he said, "And the only reason your mum let you move to Sydney because she said she'd root the recruitment manager to take her off your hands."
Does your mum listen to the show?
Fair to say, I went all right the second half.
Big hello to Mrs. Legend.
The Age report that a man is suing ScienceWorks, talk about stupid people, after breaking his back using an exhibit in a bid to outrun Cathy Freeman. The article said a man is taking legal action against the ScienceWorks Museum in Victoria after he ran flat out into a wall and fractured his spine while racing a virtual Cathy Freeman display.
Good on him.
Now, according to court documents, Mr. Smith was running on the 10-metre dual lane track against the computerised sprinting champ when he ploughed head-on into a wall, injuring his skull, ribs and spine.
Wow.
Now, Sid, when they say an athlete's hit the wall, is this what they're talking about?
I don't think this is what they're talking about.
Well, you're our workers' comp expert.
I am indeed.
Does this bloke have a case?
Well, he most certainly does have a case. This ScienceWorks Museum, is this what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a dead-set death trap. Along with the run against Cathy Freeman into a wall exhibit they've got, they also have a downhill skiing with Schumacher. and a German Grand Prix with Niki Lauda exhibit.
And I believe the Jeremy Schlossig exhibit has someone shit in your shoe.
Well, I think the most dangerous one is the four-day bender with Ben Cousins exhibit.
In good news this week, Sid, a punter has turned $10 into $70,000.
Oh, I saw this today.
After having a punt on the AFL over the weekend.
Good on him.
At a combined odds of 6,990 to 1.
Awesome.
The bloke not only tipped every winner, but also the margins in every game.
I read this in the paper. There was a...
How much of it do I get to have out of that, Sid? I know that you've collected the 70. What do I get, 10?
20? Mate, do you think... You know my punting history. Do you think that was me? You think I'd be here?
All right, well, enough of this. Let's get into this. News. We head into the news and the NRL news to begin with. And news of the official salary cap figure is yet to be released. And Fox Sports report that there are over 200 frontline players off contract at the end of the year, Sid. They include Tedesco,
yep.
Ferguson, Dugan, Foran, Sean Johnson, Woods, Widdop, Gay Guy, Josh Reynolds, James Roberts, Guerra, and Kronk. And coincidentally, all of those players are expected to land at the Roosters. Now, fittingly, after round 7 was declared brown paper bag round
The NRL. Another great initiative from the NRL.
Jack Bird has headed north to play for the Broncos from next year.
He flew the coop.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Someone. Why didn't someone think of that joke?
It's brilliant.
He ignored offers from Cronulla, Newcastle and the Eels. Now, obviously the most difficult thing for Bird will be winding his clock back to 1987 and learning how to talk slower and getting curtains that don't fade. But, Sid, there were varying reports on how much they're paying.
Oh, what? Yeah, weren't there?
Anywhere, I think the New South Wales media had him at $1.1 million a year, and I believe the Courier Mail said one pizza and a carton of beer every year.
Yeah, it's different up there.
Yeah.
When you don't have to live under a salary cap. But it's deals like this that really annoy the average fan of the NRL. Like, if it is legit and they can afford to do this, fair enough. But it just creates an air of suspicion, to say the least.
Well, the best thing I heard was that someone put it to Wayne Bennett that, well, now you've got a 5/8 to fill in for Hunt. Obviously, Milford will be moved to half. And he said, oh, no, we're looking for a half. Bird won't be playing half. So he'll be an expensive lock or winger. Or
apparently he wants to play lock.
But that's good. I'm glad they've got a little bit more money to spend. They've still got Ben Hunt's money, they said.
Oh, they've still got plenty of money under the salary cap up there. But apparently Cronulla offered around the same amount and Newcastle even more.
Mm.
It pisses off the fans.
The Red V have tabled a 3-year offer worth around $2.2 million. Is that right? $2.2 million to keep Gareth Widdop in Wollongong. However, he has knocked it back. Some say he isn't keen to share duties with another dominant half like Ben Hunt, much the same way he did with Benji Marshall. Now, with that in mind, there are now whispers that he is being heavily chased by the Storm, who have gone cold on Kieran Foran.
Yeah, I saw this today. I'm still not sure that he would go back to the Storm. I base that on absolutely nothing except a gut feeling.
Well, rough punt time, is it?
But the West Tigers have reportedly offered him a 3-year, $2.6 million offer.
Yeah, there you go. Well, following on from an incident a few weeks ago where David Clemmer slapped Daly Cherry Evans, the slap has gone the same way as the punch, with the NRL promising that future offenders will be marched to the sin bin.
Yep.
Now, Nate Miles was the one that brought this up on our podcast.
Yeah, I think he revealed this exclusively here.
For those who haven't heard it, go back through the episodes from last year. We interviewed Nate, and one of the things he talks about is getting punched by Gallen and how that's changed the game forever and not for the better.
And not a fan of the slap either, was he?
But a slap now is now gone. We've got punches, we've got slaps. Can I tell you, officially, from this date on, the game has gone soft.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, we have punching and now slapping being banned. But meanwhile, the Sydney Morning Herald has reported that a man in Parramatta was stabbed after a game of Oztag.
Yep.
Now, that's more like it, Sid. That's the passion I want. Wouldn't it be good to see players running around knowing that they might get a dagger in the throat after the game?
Well,
how many wingers or halfbacks are going to run in and give blokes like David Clemmer or Marty Tapiao a gobful knowing they're packing some heat after the game?
Well, I totally agree. I can't argue with you, and I can't argue with a man of Nate Miles' stature. He said it here first, but maybe the slap has to be taken out of the NRL, but gee, I'd be disappointed if stabbings were wiped out of the Oztag comps. There's a line, people.
All right, round seven was brown paper bag round, and it began on Friday night. Good Friday. The Bulldogs steamrolled the South's Rabbitohs at Renovators Delight, winning 24 points to 9. Now, Sid,
yes.
Can I say something here?
Go.
Des Hasler has forgotten more than I'll ever know about coaching rugby league.
Yep.
But I've never seen something so obvious as when what I'm about to say.
Go on.
Canterbury are a 50% better team with that Matt Frawley running at halfback. Now, before he came out on Friday night, the Dogs looked like they were just running through their sets of six without any spark or indication of where the points were going to come from.
Yeah, I'll
but
give you that.
But from the moment Frawley came on in the 54th minute, the Dogs looked dangerous and they ended up scoring 18 of their 24 points. Now, something I'd like someone to look at.
Yes.
The boys down at the Backyard Stats Lab. How many points, or what's the score for when Frawley has been on the field as compared to when he's been off it in the games that he's been playing?
Well, I'll send the Backyard Stats Lab a fax.
Send down to,
and request that.
Just go down to Chopper and and Mouse and see how they're travelling down
and
there.
Snake.
And see if they can't.
All right.
Well, this brings me up to Josh Reynolds, Sid. Now, in the first half, he was the weak link in the Dogs' line that gave the South their first try as Alex Johnson ran around him to score. But not surprisingly, he came back by scoring an individual try to get the Dogs back in the game with only 5 minutes later. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out in the coming weeks. The Dogs have a good young half in Frawley. It looks like he might be a very good player.
Yep.
They have Reynolds, who tries his guts out, but in my opinion is a little bit limited on his ability. He's coming off.
Yeah, you don't rate him at all, do you?
Yeah, no. He's coming off contract.
Yeah.
They have Mbai, who is on massive money. They have a hooker in Lisha, who's coming off contract.
Hasn't delivered at all at the Bulldogs, has he?
Well, he's been a disappointment.
Yeah.
And now they possibly have Kronk and or Foran.
And Woods, and maybe Tedesco.
Coming to the club. It's like too many spare pricks at a wedding, basically.
Yeah. No, I've got to agree with you. It was a clever field goal by Souths right on half time. So they only lost by 15 instead of 16. But it was neck and neck until, like you say, that last 20 minutes where the Dogs ran riot, and that's when Frawley was on. That's a good point you make.
The Knights battled hard but never really
hurts
worried
me to say that.
The Roosters at All Day Breakfast Stadium, going down 24 points to 6. The Roosters returned to the disciplined form from the first month of the season after last week's horror numbers, including 47 missed tackles from last week.
Yep.
It was a textbook game in Newcastle as they improved in every facet. Completions were at a high 84%, Sid.
Yep.
They made 10 errors and made 6 line breaks.
Yes, they look good, the Roosters. That Manu try to open the scoring was a corker.
Cracking try.
And they were just too good after back-to-back losses.
Tellingly,
come back.
Tellingly, only one Knights forward, Sione Matautia.
There's a thousand ways you can say that.
Three brothers pronounce their names differently. It's very odd. Yeah. He's the only forward to make more than 100 metres with the ball.
That's
the Roosters had 4 big men in the century mark, with Boyd Cordner topping the numbers with 174 metres. Boyd Cordner, there's a bloke.
Yeah.
He can play.
He can play.
And surely
there's
he will
a scoop.
Be. Yeah. That's what people tune in to hear. surely he'll be the captain of the New South Wales team.
The actual overall game stats, I had a look at this today, they were pretty close.
They were.
The missed tackles, the tackles, the completion rates, all that caper was very, very close. You wouldn't know that the Knights weren't really in this game.
No.
But the killer for Newcastle was the line breaks, 6-2.
Yeah.
So every time they had a chance, they converted it. The Knights try hard, man, but...
Well, the words brave, honest, courageous, they keep getting tossed around at Newcastle fans, but I reckon they might be getting a little bit sick of hearing of those because while they're giving a good account each week, winning becomes a habit, but then again, so is losing. And right now, the Knights are finding it hard to kick losing than midget porn for you. The third game on Friday was the Broncos, and they took on the Titans at Stinder Stadium, and they took 78 minutes to beat the Titans, 24 points to 22. Now, considering their current injury numbers and the number of blokes that went down for the Titans in this game, it would seem near on impossible to imagine the Broncos couldn't tie this game up until the 78th minute, Sid. So, were the Broncos bad or are Gold Coast okay?
Well, mate, this was a cracking game of football.
It was a beauty.
Oh, it had bomb tries, great attack, long-range tries. The Titans have only ever won once at Stinder Stadium, and they should have won this game.
Yeah. I'm glad they didn't. Last man standing and all, but...
Yeah, true. That Milford intercept try was awesome. He just seemed to have so much time to throw it to Roberts, who threw it back.
Well, speaking of James Roberts...
Well, he was outstanding.
He had a night to remember, mate. He had three tries, including the match winner. He had 19 runs for 191 metres, two line breaks, 9 tackle breaks, and a try assist.
Yep.
And I also believe that he had a celebration, remember, Sid?
Did he?
He got on the piss. He got booted from Caxton Street Hotel. He passed out. He woke up. He had a few more beers. Then he was denied entry into City Rowers. And then he headed home. Or as he knows it, Friday night.
Mate, I'm a massive fan of James Roberts. We've bagged him a lot on the show, but that was outstanding.
He is quick, isn't he?
Oh, he's so quick.
I think he's got speed.
He's got a lot of speed.
Now, with Thurston injured right now, it's hard to believe that from his form around 12 months ago, that Anthony Milford isn't a walk-up start if the Origin team was hypothetically picked today.
Yeah, well...
His 2017
Laurie
season...
Daly's picking his team 4 months ago.
His 2017 season has been mixed at best, and so it was again on Friday night. Whilst he set up tries, he also failed to finish off a couple of sets of six, and in fact, he only kicked the ball once in the first half. How about that?
We've kind of hinted at this a few times, that... He's not real confident, and neither would you when the Broncos are in the market for about 5 halves. Where does he fit in next year?
Oh, who knows? He's probably on the bench somewhere. $1.5 million on the bench. Saturday night, the Seagulls lost a tight one to the Storm at Legoland, 30 points to 26.
High-scoring game.
Well, in an afternoon where defence was actually optional, Sid, there were 46 points scored, including 9 tries in the first half alone.
Mm.
The Storm led 30 points to 16 at the break. Now, this deep-seated rivalry between these two clubs didn't fail to entertain once again, with the game up for grabs right up until full-time, Sid. Now, this was the 5th time in the last 6 matchups that a game between these teams was decided by less than a try.
Well, I was not aware of that stat, stat that I was aware of,
yeah,
the Storm had a 91% completion rate. Yeah. That is outstanding.
They're unbelievable.
And they didn't even score in the second half, but still did enough to beat them at Legoland.
Well, considering that the way that where these two teams have been in the last sort of couple of years, the Storm have been on top, Manly have been there, rough at best.
Yeah.
To have 5 games decided by less than a try is remarkable.
Absolutely.
Now, Cameron Munster made his return off the bench in this game after breaking his jaw a couple of weeks ago, and Craig Bellamy was pretty happy with his return. I'll just read his quote here. He starts about Riley Jacks. He said, "Riley Jacks has been doing a terrific job for us, but we know we're going to have Cameron in the side somewhere because he's a real footy player. You could probably throw him in the back row and he'd do a fair job because he's a real footy player." A real footy player, Sid.
Yeah.
A real one.
What does that actually mean?
I don't know.
So it's a bit of a backhanded compliment to old Riley. Yeah, you've done a good job, but we want a real footy player. But what I got out of all that you just said, mumbled through, how do you come back and only miss 3 games from a broken jaw?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that possible?
They're healing well these days.
Mate, I'd be off for 15. I have been off for 15 years.
They are
healing well these days.
The Raiders ground out a solid win against the Warriors at Geelong Cold Stadium, winning 20 points to 8. Now, you know what this game was, Sid?
What was this game?
It was a game of 2 halves.
It was a game of 2 halves, and both halves were games of 2 halves.
The Warriors led to the break by 8 points to 6, and then they failed to worry the scorer after the break, with the Canberra boys putting 14 unanswered points on.
Yep.
Now, Joey, BJ, Ricky, Leilua had a night to remember.
What's he calling himself this week?
Oh, I don't know. I think every club he goes to, he just calls himself someone from there. Ricky Leilua, he had a night to remember. Now, thanks to Snake and Chainsaw down at the Backyard Stats Lab, he had 2 tries, 139 running metres and 2 line breaks. Now, if he doesn't get a Blues call-up, surely he'll at least get an Australian jumper.
Well, it's too late for the Blues. They were picked 3 years ago, the Blues team, as I just mentioned. Your mate, Sticky, said in the lead up to this game that this was a danger game for the Raiders. And while they were tested in the first half, they, They're looking good, the Raiders. And I said this last week. I reckon they're going to go on a bit of a run over the next 7 weeks.
Well, not only that, I think they're one of the teams that are winning that actually still have a fair bit of improvement left in them.
Yeah, I'd give you that. That's true.
I don't think they play 80 minutes out at the moment. And yep. With that in mind, geez, if they click and play a full 80 minutes against a team, well...
Well, I did tip them top two.
The all
that doesn't
new,
mean anything.
The all-new Stephen Kearney Warriors dominated the first half. It was a case of the old better the devil you know in the second half as the Warriors spent that half dropping balls, falling off tackles and making under sixes errors.
Yeah, this in was fact, a game of two halves.
In fact, in the first stanza, the Warriors made just 4 errors. And in the second half, 13.
13. If you're, that's the Warriors that we know.
If you're punting in a Warriors game, you've got too much money and your blood pressure might be just a little bit too low.
What a frustrating team to follow. If the Tigers ever got kicked out again, if Wests ever got kicked out again, I'd probably have to go for the Warriors.
The Dragons survived a late comeback from an injury-depleted Cowboys to win at Warilla Showground, 28 points to 22.
I tip this.
Doesn't Warilla Showground look a treat these
days? Oh, isn't it beautiful? Yeah. I like what they've done there.
Not many cars were left there after the game. A lot of cars stolen or up on bricks. But, Sid, you know what this game was?
What was this game?
Game of two halves.
Ah, all too familiar. I've patented that, you know.
The Dragons scored...
Every time you say that, I get 8 cents.
Do you?
Yeah.
The Dragons scored all of their 28 points in the first half, and the North Queensland team scored 18 of their points in the second 40 minutes.
Yep.
Paul Green said as much, wishing that the margin wasn't so great at halftime. One of the all-time durs from a coach. Now, the forgotten man, Tim Laffey, had a great return to form. On the back of some pearler passes from Gareth Widdop, he scored a try, as well as setting up Nenny McDonald for another. Wasn't Nenny McDonald... Didn't she used to host Hey Hey It's Saturday with Daryl?
Yeah, I think I seem to remember that.
She's a good winger.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny how some of these blokes, Sid...
I've got no idea what you're talking about. I just nod politely.
It's funny how some of these blokes who are coming off contracts really start to wind their form up.
Interesting, isn't it?
Tim Laffey, off contract.
Yep.
Starting to look like a world beater again.
Yep.
Gareth Widdop, knocking
off
back...
Off to the Tigers.
Knocking back $750,000 a year.
Yep.
Well, after 7 rounds... The Dragons are 6-1, Sid.
Who would have thunk it? They're the best attacking team in the comp.
Worst NRL year ever.
What?
The only concern, that's why I just can't stand it. The only concern, if there is one, outside of the welfare of the Douse movement, who haven't been sighted for a couple of weeks.
Still missing.
Could be dead. They might be swimming with the fishies off Warilla coastline. You don't mess with the Masons. Now, the only thing they need to worry about is... that they allowed the Cowboys a sniff at winning this game after their huge first half lead. Now, maybe they took their foot off the gas and let the team back in, but it's something I reckon other teams would have noticed.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are still sitting around thinking when the bubble will burst at Jubilee.
Please be soon.
Yeah, I can't cop this.
Sunday, the Panthers were absolutely hosed by the Sharks.
Weren't they?
At the Pig, 28 points to 2. Gus Gould got a special mention while the Sharks were singing their team song after the game. He called the Cronulla Premiership victory soft on his riveting podcast called Knock On or Dummy Half or whatever it is.
Have you had a listen to that?
Oh, spare me. Real.
Not going to get those 30 minutes of your life back.
Real uplifting.
Isn't it?
Just a knee slapper. Anyway, just to show that Gus hasn't taken things too personally, he then ensured the Cronulla Sharks partners were given their tickets as they usually do, except on Sunday they were made to sit on the hill with the great unwashed.
See, you told me about this. I wasn't aware of this. I love that.
Yeah?
I love it.
What about you like this then? He also made sure Luke Lewis had to pay $5 for his parking.
Yeah, nice.
By the way, Sid, speaking of Gus, is it normal to have a face that looks like a Sydney cabbie's seat?
I don't know what
That's
to say.
Shocking head.
I don't know what to say about that, but Penrith are absolutely terrible.
They are terrible.
Why were they competition favourites?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute, but let's look at James Maloney. He noted after the game that their game plan was to suffocate the Panthers with a fast defensive line, and they felt their mistakes might flow. And as it was, he might have been right on the money. The Panthers finished the game with 15 errors, 40 missed tackles, and a 73% completion rate. And on top of that, thanks to the boys down at Backyard Stats Lab for that, on top of that, the Sharks line speed was probably responsible for the Penrith halves lacking in creativity.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Penrith halves
Nathan
and
Cleary.
Creativity.
Nathan Cleary. Well, off the boil a little bit.
Mate, I was talking to a Panthers fan, a mate of mine, And he was saying the problem they got out there is Moylan, Peachy, Tamare Martin, I love saying that, Cleary, they all want to run and no one's steering this ship. They all want to run the ball. There's no structure. When they do play structured footy, it's very easy to pick off and they look terrible.
After seven rounds, these two teams look worlds apart in their current form. The Sharks look as likely a team to defend their title as any other team has in the past 10 years.
Yeah, that's true.
While the Panthers are now 2 wins and 5 losses from 7 games. Now, if you look at the Panthers in pre-season betting, Sid, they were favourites. Now, I think if you've backed them and you put any sizable amount on them, you should be allowed to have a day where you can go on a crime spree to try and get your money back.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah. Who did we talk to about that? Malcolm Turnbull?
Boris Garagiklian.
Boris will be all over it. Strange looking bloke, that Boris.
Anyway.
Monday, the Eels finished over the top of the Tigers at Renovators Delight to win 26 points to 22. Potential cross-dresser Mitch Moses looked like a bloke that was playing for one team in the first half and then didn't know who he should be going for in the second half.
That's true.
His first half was pretty good, concluding a nice try, but his second half, Sid, featured a lot of mistakes and poor options.
This deflated me, this game.
I rang you straight after it.
Oh.
Jeez, I tell you what, I told your missus to remove your shoelaces from your shoes.
Well, at half time I rang you, I was on top of the world. I nearly didn't take your call at full time.
Moses threw a pissy pass to Nofaluma that resulted in an Eels four-pointer. And that was the spark that began the comeback over the Tigers. It's now up in the air whether Moses will get released this week. Although coming on air today, I just read he's been named in the Tigers squad.
Yeah, there's a bit of talk of some player swaps. But if this was ever a chance for Moses to justify this gigantic contract that he seems to think he's entitled to.
I don't know if he thinks he's entitled to it. He got it. So good luck to him.
Yeah, man.
If someone came up to you and said, here's $13 for doing this podcast, just because you don't think it's worth $13, you're still going
to
take it.
Oh, I'd take $13 in a heartbeat. But this is his chance to kick us to victory and take control of this game, and he dead set blew it. He kicked on the fourth tackle at one point, straight down the winger's throat, and he gave it away on the fifth tackle, another piss-poor kick. I want him gone.
While we're talking about Tigers and how bad we're travelling,
Our
edge defence is in all sorts.
Yeah.
Coming off the back of the Dragons exploiting poor defensive reads from Nofaluma.
Yeah.
Take the headgear off, please.
Yeah, he's gone downhill since he's put that headgear on, hasn't he?
He looks like a special kid. This time the Eels took it down the left side to find Kev Nagama at sixes and sevens a few times, including once where he sprinted out of the line to give Ovava.
Yeah.
Is that his name? A clear passage to the line. Yep. For a bloke who said his number one priority was going to be to fix up the Tigers' defence, Jason Taylor has made a flea's dick of difference.
Well, we don't mention the scarecrow anymore. It's all about the greyhound now.
The greyhound.
I believe the greyhound was the most heavily backed name.
That's about it. Now, listen, my Twitter mate, Clint Gutherson, who was one stage there rumoured to come to the Tigers in a swap, had a good return to his customary fullback slot, a try, assist, 2 line breaks, and running 185 metres with the ball. That's thanks to Chopper and Mouse down in the backyard.
Well, if he does end up in Tigers colours, we'll stamp that out of his game.
Well, we've got to get rid of that haircut, and then he can come over, because that is a shocker.
I don't know that we're that picky at the moment, the Tigers.
If you look down towards
we'll take anyone.
Nagama's hair, and fair enough.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL, and for the first time in over a decade, the Swans went 0-4 into a season after going down to the West Coast Eagles.
Yes, they did.
See, there's a time to panic.
No, I don't think the Swans should ever be written off. Horse Longmire, as I call him, has never started a season 0-4, but with the all-time great Buddy there, I'm still confident that the Swans will make the 8 this year.
Insightful.
Do you not agree?
Well, I can't not agree. Meanwhile, the GWS Giants beat that guy from Sunrise, David Cox, Port Power side, by 5 goals.
Yes, they did.
Anything about this?
No, didn't watch it.
So this week, the Battle of the Bridge, is that still happening?
It Swans certainly is. Giants. Yes.
Are you going?
I am going to this game. This is at the SCG. I've got my members pass ready to go. The collared shirt out and pressed. And I cannot wait to see the key matchup of this game. Lance, Buddy Franklin and Jeremy Cameron.
Mm. Any other matchups you're looking forward to seeing?
No, just those.
Swimming. Day two of the Australian Swimming Championships was broadcast on Seven.
And
Channel
what
Seven.
A spectacle it was.
How good.
How good was it seeing those guys?
Swimming against those
swimming
guys.
Out there with, yeah.
All I can say is Mel McLaughlin first, the rest, nothing. I had nothing after that. But
I like Mel.
I'm just going to, yeah, same. I'll just go throw a few numbers at you here.
Hit me.
It was broadcast on Channel 7's main channel, not 7.2 or 7 Mate or the other ones.
Yeah.
It pulled 229,000 people.
Who were these people?
I don't know. I mean, there must
wake
be some
up to yourselves.
Big swimming families all
Mel's
across
Mel's a good
Australia.
Sort and all, but really?
In contrast, My Kitchen Rules pulls 1.81 million. I know you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of those, but anyway.
Now, back in the day of Thorpe v. Hackett, swimming pulled 2 million people.
It used to be a big ratings winner, didn't it?
I'm going to put it to you. In the days, did people like it more when our swimming stars like Thorpe and Hackett?
My mate Hackett.
And what's that big fat bloke that got caught with drugs at Randwick?
Who got done for drugs, the big fat bloke?
Yeah, big fat bloke.
Dean Lucan?
No, swimmer.
Kyle Sanderlands.
No, big fat bloke.
Choppy Close. Who are you talking about?
Fat bloke. Big fat bloke.
Oh, big fat bloke. Senator Graham Richardson.
No.
Who are you talking about?
Clive Palmer.
Some fat bloke that got done for drugs. Normie Dorrell.
No.
You tell me who. It's your story.
He was on the Bugle. Jeff Hugel on the Bugle at Randwick Races. Now, do you reckon we missed those days? We liked our swimmers to be on steel knocks and going around and smashing up buildings like Hackett.
We certainly did. It just doesn't seem to rate as well anymore, does it?
Yeah, we want something. We don't want these clean cut people. We want people with flaws.
We want some A grade fuckwit.
Olympics. Speaking of, Australian Olympic Committee President John Coates called Australian Sports Commission Chief John Wiley a liar and a C-bomb. To his face after it was revealed that Wiley was supporting Olympic gold medalist Danny Roach's bid to topple Coates for the AOC presidency.
Well, C-bomb is not an offensive word in Australian swimming, is it?
C-bomb's a swimmer.
Yeah.
I don't think she's been done for drugs and she's not fat. So.
No, she's cool.
Tennis. Aussie tennis sensation Bernard Tomic has lost in the first round again. This time to superstar D. Schwartzman.
Oh, Schwartzman.
6-1, 7-6. It's the
he
fifth
used
time.
Schwartz.
It's fifth time this year he's been a bit unlucky to lose in the first round of one of these massive, huge tennis tournaments.
Yeah, poor Tomic.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
That's right, it's grab a mirror time. And for those people playing at home, maybe listening on Eon Sports Radio, this is the segment where we ask creditors to save their grab a mirrors for Tuesday and then send them to us on Twitter. Use the hashtag grab a mirror.
Yes.
We'll read out the top 10 grab a mirror efforts from the week. And
it's your chance to vent.
Yeah.
Just bitch and moan about things that happened.
Well, I'm going to start.
Go for it.
Old people, Sid, grab a mirror.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to give you a situation that just pisses the bejesus off out of me.
Okay.
Have you ever stood behind an old person at Subway?
I have indeed.
There's an hour you won't get back.
That's true.
Is there anything more devastating than getting in line just to realise there's an old couple standing just in front of you? I mean, it's enough to get all John Glover on these people. I mean, you sit there and say, they start with, what bread do you want? Yep. Oh, no, there's 9 choices. And what do you want on it? Oh, no. What salads do you want? Oh, no. And then they finally get through it. Do you want it toasted? And they have to start again.
I'm already going all granny killer.
Is there anything that could be more frustrating than you walking into Subway wanting to put a little bit of food in your tum-tum, and there's a senior citizen's bus trip in front of you.
Grab a mirror, old people.
Grab a mirror, old people.
10.
10, and number 10 this week is from Lone Steeler, at Lone Steeler, and he wrote, "Grab a mirror, the dickhat who thought it would be a good idea to teach his kid to drive at 2:30 p.m. Easter Monday on the M1 heading to Sydney. It's a shit enough trip without you adding to the nightmare." Fair enough.
Anything worse would be behind an old person.
9.
Blake Cole, 72.
Oh, look out. Here we go.
"Grab a mirror, Pornhub. I'm trying to live the fantasy and comes the disclaimer that she's actually not my stepdaughter, but a paid actor. Hashtag blue balls."
Let's just move on from that one.
8.
At Mitch Pool 01 said, "Hashtag grab a mirror, the dickhat who decided the button-up fly was a good idea. Being able to do them up at 3 a.m. smash should get you into Mensa."
I hate the button-up fly.
7.
"Grab a mirror," says at Supercoach Baz, "guys that complain about button-up flies. You willingly paid money for them when you are sober. There's one hell of a point."
Grab a mirror's gone all narky.
6.
Beerboy 182 wrote, "Grab a mirror me for preference of the button-up fly so I don't have to put my beans over the Frank at 3 a.m. in the Randy Wicks toilets."
What's going on with the button-up fly this week? Love it.
Sid, you got one for us this week?
I do have one. "Grab a mirror, you magnificent bastard, Jared Hayne."
Well, Jared, what's he been doing?
His faux pas has now gone global. Do you remember this?
No.
A train station on the tube in London started playing X-rated porn on the advertising screens because two kids, inspired by Hayne's public school mishap, decided to be smart asses and hack into the system and play probably midget porn to unsuspecting pobby commuters.
You want
to
get off that, mate. Get the patches.
It probably brightened up the day of the miserable pommy pricks as they were going on their way to work or a soccer riot somewhere in the rain.
5.
Shaywom wrote, "Grab a mirror, Sid Punts, for your filthy keyboard. The only thing dirtier than that is your mind."
Oh, that's a bit ordinary.
And that's before he's heard about the midget porn addiction you've got.
We've got more to say to Shaywom later in the show, for those listening to the podcast.
4.
Adsos wrote, "Grab a mirror, anyone who tweets about Trump, Syria, or Korea. Twitter is for making dick jokes and bagging the NRL. Stop making me think."
It is easy to make Kim Jong-un, is that his name, jokes this week. Did you see he trotted out his fiberglass weapons of mass destruction? It was a paper mache one. But I take your point.
4.
Juan Fuck All wrote, "Grab a mirror at Fox Classics for not showing any Clint Eastwood movies for over a week."
That never happened.
That's brilliant.
3.
Milram 361 wrote, "Grab
He's
a,
back, Milram.
Grab a mirror, chemist jelly beans, barely any black ones. Hashtag PC." I'll have a last go here, Sid.
Go for it.
"Grab a mirror, old people."
Old people.
Yeah.
I've got a sense of deja vu all over again, as the great Rex Mossop would say.
"Grab a mirror, old people who are on roundabouts."
Okay.
You know how you can tell they're old people in front of you?
Yeah.
There's a hat on the parcel shelf and old Beryl's in the passenger seat waving her hands around like she just don't care. Old Norman's unable to decide whether to enter the roundabout or piss his pants. Surely in this day and age of sat-nav, Sid, we can get a feature where you start your trip with it, the sat-nav saying, "Are you over 65? And if they answer yep, they go, "Right, let's steer you away from every roundabout on the face of the earth."
Yep.
Which may mean some elderly residents will take 4 or 5 hours to go down to the shops, and Christ heaven help you if you live in Canberra, because that's going to take you 4 hours to go to the news agency on the road.
Probably taking 5 hours just to go to Subway, from what I've heard.
How many roundabouts are in Canberra, by the way?
Yeah, a lot of roundabouts.
Anyway, so grab a mirror, old people, on roundabouts.
2.
At Claudster69 said, "Grab a mirror, Siamese twins Chang and Eng, for conceiving 22 babies. More..."
on.
More Billy Buxton, former legend, and Sid Punts combined. Unfair. Hashtag no thanks, I have a headache.
That's so unfair. I have two headaches.
But our number one grab a mirror this week.
One.
Comes from at Dubstan, who wrote, grab a mirror shops that put corn chips in the Mexican aisle instead of the established chip aisle. Hashtag some men just want to watch the world burn.
That's what we're here for. Day-to-day problems.
Get me out of this segment, please.
Let's get out of here.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your ways. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
And, Sid nearly got a suit for $1 trillion with one of his jokes. We will not be putting that to air. We'll cut that out. Now, listen, let's talk about Ray Warren. I know he's a favourite of yours.
Yeah, I don't mind Rabs.
Now, you know, a lot of people are saying that he's gone for too long and that he should retire and everything else.
As much as I love the guy, I think that is a fair criticism.
Yeah, and people are saying, oh, he'll hang up the microphone. But, you know, that's only partially true. Yeah, he won't be commentating anymore, probably end of this year. Yeah. But he'll go back to that music career that he had going.
Hey?
What?
What music career did he have?
He's been singing for years, mate.
This is not on the running sheet. Not sure where you're going with this.
Mate, he started years ago in the mid-80s with George Michael in Wham.
Okay, go on.
Well, listen to this.
Go, go. Yo, yo.
I don't remember it sounding like that.
Don't you?
No.
Well, I mean, he got through that and then I think he came out again. He wasn't a one-hit wonder, that's for sure, because he actually then went on with MC Hammer. And,
okay.
I mean, everyone remembers him in You Can't Touch This.
They can't touch. Yo. You can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? Can't touch this.
Yo.
Sound the bell. School is in, sucker. Can't touch this. Give me a song. A rhythm making them sweat. That's
what remember?
I do remember now. It's all flooding back to me.
And then he debuted with a young female group called the Spice Girls.
I remember the Spice Girls.
And he was big in this hit.
Yo.
Yep, he was big there.
He was the original Zega Zega.
Can I just say, but
go on.
I'd be a little bit cautious if I was a musician looking to work with Ray. I mean,
well, I am a musician, well, and I'd love to work with Ray.
He's had a couple of people after he's worked with them. They've fallen off the perch a little bit early. I mean, there was Amy Winehouse after he worked with her.
I don't remember this, but go on.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said,
no, no, no.
Yes, I've been.
No.
But I reckon he might be one of the real multi-generational musicians, Sid. I mean, outside of yourself, of course.
Yes.
He's come from Wham. He's gone through the early 90s with the hip-hop, but now he's big with the hip-hop in the 2000s. I mean, he did that song with Timberlake.
Yes.
You remember?
Oh, I do remember this one. Everyone, you've just brought it to my attention.
Don't you come over here, you got me sitting here.
Yo.
Why don't you sit down on top of me?
Yo.
I'm tired of using technology. I need you right in front of me.
I do remember that because as much as the ladies love Timberlake, they just could not keep their eyes off Rabs in that film clip.
Have a look at Ray's rabbit. And, you know, I mean, he worked with 50 Cent there, but I believe he actually got 50 Cent's career on the straight and narrow with his first ever hit. And I mean, who can ever forget this one?
Go, 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 go.
Shorty, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday.
Well, it's good he's got another career to fall back on when he finishes commentating.
Go, go,
go, go, go, go, go.
It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday.
Now, I'm going to say something that you've probably never heard in a sentence before.
Okay.
Ray Warren is the original wigger.
I've never heard that in a sentence before.
Full credit to the boys.
Ever since we sent out the call for possible creditor to come on board and be a third member, a third wheel in the full credit of the boys team.
Not that we need one. I think we've proven that.
We've had a soft entry from a bloke named Milram.
Yeah.
Some kid named Jones.
Yeah.
A bit blue for our liking.
But it's got a big future, if I'm honest.
And this week, one of the creditors by the name of @Shaywom on Twitter. He's interviewed a legend of the game.
A former legend.
A former legend of the game. A bloke with a great nickname. I'll let him tell the story himself.
Yes.
But anyway, why don't you have a listen to this?
This is great.
Full credit to the boys.
Hello, creditors. You're with your roving reporter @Shaywom for Full Credit to the Boys. This week we've got with us an absolute rugby league legend. He started in 1977 with Newtown. He's played with clubs like Canterbury, Manly. He even had a season with the Tigers. He's played for New South Wales and Australia, and he's got the best nickname that you can ever find. So a big Full Credit to the Boys welcome to Phil What's-a-Pack-of-Sigsworth.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever we are.
Mate, first question. How did you get the nickname? Was that something that rugby league gave you, or was it something you had since high school?
Really, I was working with Singo at 2K Wireless, as he called it back then, and a guy came on the radio and said he was checking to see if all the players would be available this weekend, and I was one of them. And I didn't realise that my nickname back then was What's a Packeter. And the guy said, is What's a Packeter going to be playing this week? And I looked at Singo and I shrugged my shoulders, and Singo looked at me and he said, mate, who's What's a Packeter? The bloke turned around and said, What's a Packeter, Phil Sigsworth? And anyway, that nickname stuck, and it's probably one of the best nicknames I've heard for quite some time. So yeah, it was quite a surprise when it came out, that's for sure.
There's plenty of good nicknames in rugby league, but that's by far the best. Well, righty-o, who's your favourite team and why the hell are they going to win the 2017 grand final?
Well, this year I've got to hand it to the Broncos. I think they've got the players, the master coaches there, and if I was going to go for a second place there, I'd go for the little master, his apprentice in Bellamy with the Melbourne Storm.
Making your first grade debut in 1977, which, by the way, is 40 years ago, so don't want to make you feel old or anything, but what do you reckon was the toughest part of playing in that era?
The fact that there was no interchange.
Yeah.
There was no videos. People could, you know, short hook you whenever they wanted to, and there was people got bashed because of that. Simply, the rules weren't as tight as they are today because there's videos and cameras on you everywhere all over the field. And that back then, you had one game on the Saturday and you had one game on the Sunday. The Sunday game was the ABC, and the one on the weekend was on Sunday was the TV game. So yeah, it was a lot different back then.
Righto, when you compare footy now back to the 70s and early 80s, I guess, when you were flying around in your Australian Guernsey, what characteristic of the game do you reckon you'd reintroduce?
Mate, I'm at a war with the interchange. I hate the interchange. I think it's, you know, it used to be that only the strongest shall survive. I'd change it to 6 replacements, and there'd be one extra for the sub, for the headbin. Scrums, I'd take them back to the 10-metre mark, away from the 20-metre mark. I'd have only one ref because, mate, it's like having two wives. You can't have two wives. It's too important. It's, you know, you can't keep them both happy. And too many plays in the tackles. I take the tackle back to the 5-metre line and bar completely the wrestling at the play ball. So there's quite a few there.
Mate, 5 metres. Jesus, that'll sort the boys from the men, mate, getting that sort of thing happening.
Well, you'd have a deeper attack. You wouldn't have the flat attack that you have now. And before, it used to be a sight to see the fullback link into the back line. You don't see a lot of that today. You see them sort of coming up from inside, you know, up through the ruck. But you don't see them coming through the out wide there all that often. But I think it'd add an extra dimension to the game. It used to be back then, and it still would be now.
Who's the hardest player you ever played with or against? Probably against, because they always seem to be harder bastards, I reckon.
I'd say Ray Price would be right up there. I'd say Craig Young would be right up there. But if I had, they'd be the two toughest guys, without a doubt, without a failure. I'd say the best player I played against also would be Steve Rogers, without a doubt. Could play anywhere from hooker to fullback and an accomplished goal kicker. And, you know, a player that, you know, could do everything and anything he wanted to do, and may rest in peace, and a great person, a great bloke.
Very, very fine moustache on that man too.
Well, yeah, he did have, you know, the mo. He looked like something out of, you know, one of those movies that they have. And but, yeah, he did look a bit like a porn star with it. But at the same time, I think, yeah, he was just a great bloke, a great person and a fantastic player. And you would be surprised, mate, he was very, very tough. But, you know, he wasn't one of those players that would try and take you out and, you know, back, you know, from behind. He was always up front, and he was a clean player, and he was just one of those players that he just had everything in the game had to offer.
And that's the thing, isn't it? You can be like a Les Boyd or a Dallas Donnelly or an Igor Randall. Mate, you'd always have to keep a left eye on those blokes. But to be, you know, clean as a whistle and be hard as nails is something special in itself.
Yeah, he was just one of those players, one of those once in a generation. And I'm surprised not too many other people ever mention his name, because when it comes to hard, when it comes to tough, when it comes to fast, when it comes to accomplished, he was everything there was. And he was a great player. And, yeah, sorry to see him go so early.
Well said. Mate, moving on, coaches. You coached. You took Hull to a First Division Premiership over there before the Super League, mate, in snowy old crappy England. You're an assistant coach here as well. Mate, would you ever coach again, or is it just a gig that's just a pain in the arse and the media just tears you down from the outside?
I think once you've coached, you don't lose that bug. Once you've played, you don't lose that bug, and the bug's still in me. But at the same time, some of the respect that we got from the players back in those days, the early days of the 2000s, mate, I really irked me a lot, because the simple fact was they didn't have a lot of respect. And but if I ever had to coach again, it would definitely be with an up-and-coming kid side, and I'd prefer that, to develop them, those sort of guys, because they're easier to talk to. And what happened with the Tigers, I don't want to experience that ever again. And being a coach sometimes can be lonely, and as you've seen with a lot of the clubs now at the moment, no coaches are safe. Then they're talking about sacking them, and why not just sack them in the end of the year and not before the year or during the year started, because you've already settled on the team, and, you know, it's management, and they should be sacking management, not just coaches.
The media, we touched on the media in that last question. Do you reckon they've got too much input into the game? And do you reckon they've, with social media especially, you know, is there too much sway by these external influences, do you think?
Well, I don't think too much about the media as it is, because, you know, what they report on is only what they see, and they don't really do a good job on that. Sometimes I think that they think that they're playing as well.
Yeah.
So I think, no, the media want to get a sensationalism headline, and I think they've done their job, but I don't believe that that they report or they have any influence there as far as that goes. But in a certain way they do, I guess, for the simple fact that they're writing on it and people read the papers. The ones that are really fair income, as I would say, they do okay, but there's not too many of them around.
Rightio, you just squeezed into the Newtown Jets team with a century. You've got to be pretty happy with that, mate. It's a team of a century, after all.
Mate, just squeezed into it or made it easy, I don't know. That's a difference of opinion. Mate, when I was a kid, we all think back to when we were kids, and all I wanted to do was play for Australia. But to name me Newtown's best ever team of the century, that was by far and away the greatest highlight of my life. And that'll leave me, even when I'm gone, my name will be part of it, and I'll leave my mark on the world. But I guess, you know, when I leave this world, and I don't intend to do it for quite some time, to be named the Jets' best ever is something I'll be proud of, and something my name can always go down in history, and I've left my mark, and that's all I wanted to do as a kid. And you know, I think about it now, and it's an unbelievable honour to be named in the best ever, and to be remembered that way. I'll take it.
Mate, final, and then I'll let you get out of here. Men of League, you're active with those guys, and it's a great institution. So just give our listeners a quick minute rundown of what the Men of League do.
Well, they support, you know, down and out players. They support players that are going through hard times. They support players. They support Junior League. They support, you know, just not just players, but anybody that helps. They do a lot of good. They help a lot of people. And they let people know if someone needs a visit to a hospital, needs a visit to their home, needs a visit anywhere, just to help them, you know, cheer them up. Ron Coote, he founded the organisation, and he used a lot of his own money. They're a fantastic organisation, and you know, it would have been great for them to have been around for day dot, but they weren't, and I think the rugby league should at least help them a little bit more. I know they do help them a fair bit now, but it's a great organisation, and it's fantastic to be part of. And I think Ron Coote and all the other guys that have run the joint are doing a fantastic job, and to help the down and out players. And I know I've known quite a few over the times after the days of footies are finished. What's happened is they've fallen by the wayside, and those players have fallen by the cracks, you know, through the cracks. And you know, it's always good to see them getting a helping hand, and that's what the organisation is all about.
Brilliant. Creditors, while you're out there, you got a spare lobster in your pocket, mate. Go to the Men of League website. I think it's only $20 to become a member. You get magazines four times a year, and your $20 goes a hell of a long way, because we all love this game, and we've got to give back sometimes. Well, Phil, what's a pack of cigs worth? Full credit to you. Fantastic interview. Thank you very much for taking the time out. Go the Dragons, mate.
Well, I'd say go the Jets, but they're not around anymore, but go the Doggies.
Thanks, mate.
Full credit to the boys.
There you have it, Sid, a professional creditor.
Like, it was very good, wasn't it?
Probably too good for this show. yeah, mate, Shaywam, thank you very much. Thank you to Phil Sigsworth, an absolute legend, as you
the
said.
Champion and of the game.
People, if you are listening, all jokes aside, Men of League, $20. It's a $20 investment in the game.
I think we should get that tweeted out. We should get everyone on board.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll all have a dig into our pockets and support them.
Yeah. All right, let's do a little bit of this now. It's the round 8 preview, Sid, and it's player movement round from the NRL.
Okay.
All the players that are rumoured to be moving on to different clubs will be asked to parade at halftime of each game, I believe. 15 flatbed trucks are being brought over for the Tigers game alone. And we start Friday night. The Raiders versus the Seagulls at Geelong Cold in the Luke Williamson Shield.
Yes, well, I have been rabbiting on about the Raiders and how they're going to go on a 7-game winning streak. So I've picked the Raiders 13+.
Oh, margins as well.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, Raiders will do this pretty easily. Rabbitohs v Broncos at Renovators Delight in the Billy Noak Medal.
Well, as you and I were discussing off air, the Rabbitohs are just horrible. I don't know what's going on, but they're horrible.
Mm.
So I've got Broncos 13+.
Billy Noak. Many times I've gone out the back of Jackson's on George for a Billy Noak. But, I'll take the Broncos. They are dead set specials.
Yep.
Might be the hashtag last man standing former team former bet of the week, but we'll see. Saturday,
whatever.
Eels.
You gloat.
Eels v Penrith at Renovators Delight in the Warren Crotty Cup.
Never heard of him. Or her. Not sure who that person was. I think Penrith are absolutely horrible. And I back the Eels to go well this year. And the Tigers have, thankfully, played the Eels into form, as we do with teams. And the Eels I've got at 13+.
Penrith will win this. And win
gamble
it.
Responsibly.
Penrith will win it and win it well.
Really?
Cowboys
what
v...
What do you base that on? But anyway...
Cowboys v Knights at 1300 eggs in the Neil Panko Sweeney Shield.
Yeah, you're just making up names.
Panko Sweeney. Everyone knows who Panko Sweeney is.
Yeah, nah.
All right, who do you like in the Panko Sweeney Shield?
Well, quite obviously, the Knights will win 1-12.
I actually thought that I'd be the only one to say that.
Oh,
I
really?
Think the Knights are a bit of a chance in this.
I'm a little bit confident.
They're 3-320 or something like that. That's pretty good odds. Yeah. Sharks v Titans at Southern Cross Bogan Tat Stadium in the James the Stossinator Stossic Shield.
Yeah, well, the Sharks will be up for that, whatever that shield is that you just said.
The Slossinator. I'm pretty sure that's the sort of nickname that a bloke gives himself.
Yeah, he gave himself that name.
Shermanator.
The Sharks, it kills me to say this, but the Sharks are looking really good. And with all the Titans, big names, small names, medium names, all out, they'll be fielding a team of three players and the Sharks will win 13+.
Yeah, Sharks will win. Sunday.
You said it much more succinctly than I did.
Sunday, Tigers v Bulldogs at Renovators Delight in the Brian Bruiser Battisi Bounty.
Yeah, I've got no idea what you just said.
Brian Battisi.
Yeah, never knew he played for the Tigers. Anyway, the Tigers will win by 6.
Tigers will win by 6.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
I'd like to be as confident as you.
If I was a punter, I would be steering well clear of this game.
Yeah.
They're two horrible teams in up and down form.
Yeah, Bulldogs, if they play Frawley, I'll say that.
Oh, I know you've got a half a bar for the Bulldogs and you've got a giant bar for Frawley. Go on. What's your tip?
Tigers in Golden Point. Tuesday.
After all of that.
Tuesday, Anzac Day. Roosters v Dragons at Chai Latte on Goat's Milk Stadium. In the Craig Fitzgibbon Cup.
What a great player he was. And can I say, after you go out and watch the Roosters and Dragons at Chai Latte with Goat's Milk Stadium, come down to Randwick.
Randy Wicks?
Golf, no, Randwick Golf Club. And watch the SKPs play. We'll be on straight after the football. And I've got the Roosters to win 24-18.
Yeah, I think the Roosters will win this too. Not sure what the score will be. Don't have to go that deep into it.
No, Storm, but I did.
Storm v Warriors at Ronda Kotut in the Warangi Kupu Cup.
Yep. Well, I think the Storm will win 13+.
Yeah. Storm will win. They don't lose too many, do they? All right.
Oh, here we go. Go and press this. You know you want to.
He's the last man standing, sit for no
Last man standing, Sid. Now, the aim of this was to pack a winner every week and try not to get out. How many times have you been out?
I think I've been out, well, looking at the whiteboard, I owe you $60, so I've been out 3 times. What round is it?
Round 8.
It's round 8, and I've lost 3 times. You have been going since round 2. You dropped the first round, and you have been going ever since.
Correct.
You are now up to $160.12 from your pithy little $20 bet way back in round 2 when the Tigers still had hope. I started again last week. I had $20 on the Storm at $1.54. I am still standing this week at $30.80. Your 133.4333 recurring is now $160.12 because you backed the Broncos at $1.20, which was looking very shaky for 72 minutes.
Can't
but
go
you
poor.
Won again.
Can't go poor back in winners, and that's what I do.
And you are doing it consistently. So hashtag team former. Even I'm on hashtag team former. You're on fire, bros.
Who do you like?
I'm going to go the Storm over the Warriors.
You're going to wait till the very last game on Tuesday afternoon. Well,
yes. Hopefully everyone will forget by then and they won't bag me as much.
I won't be waiting that long. I'll be going the Raiders.
Yeah, I like that too.
To beat the Seagulls. I'm not sure what odds they are, but...
No, I haven't checked the odds. It's very early in the week.
We'll have a look at that later on. But yeah, Raiders to hold me up and for another week. Should be easy.
He's the last man standing, sit for no last man standing.
What were you saying about your sack?
I did not mention my sack at all.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack.
Except it was a bit itchy.
The boys' sack.
It's a boys' sack mail and feedback time. And if you're listening to us on Eon Sports Radio, welcome for the second time in a row. I believe we're on there. Every capital city in Australia, Sid.
Yeah, big in every capital city in Australia.
And
even
Europe.
The shit cities.
Big in Kazakhstan, I believe. listen, while we're talking about podcasts, let's talk about... independent podcasts versus media organisations who are now swamping the market, I've noticed.
This is true. This is not on the running sheet, but let's just see where you're going with this. What are you getting at?
I know your nose is right out of joint with the Mamma Mia network that swamps your lifestyle segment that you love going into. But in sports, we now have Channel 9 trying to flood the market with a 4 or 5, including Gus's
Gus.
Oh, wow.
Gus's 20-minute whinge fest is...
Gus and Ellen DeGeneres, I think it is, with him that's done that one. That's a really good podcast. Get around that.
he does look like Ellen DeGeneres.
You got Triple M, who are just...
stealing jokes.
We'll get into that another time. But yeah, we've got Triple M. They've got about 19 podcasts in the top 100 and something.
Yep.
Who else we got that we seem to be making a rather heavy felt presence in the market?
Well, yeah, there's heaps of them. They have a heap of backing and 55 producers.
So
poor little old you and me sitting here in a tin shed
with
a dirty keyboard.
And not just we're not just talking about our potty, but obviously the other rugby league podcasts that are independent, I say support them as much as you support the Triple M and et al. Group, because I know a lot of these guys were doing it before and will probably be doing it after these media organisations try and overrule the world, the podcasting world.
Good point.
All right, next week we'll be recording on Wednesday because of the Anzac Day games. And
I thought it was because I had a gig on Tuesday.
Well, you probably
can we do it late Wednesday? I'll be hungover.
5-star reviews, Sid.
I believe we had a couple this week. I didn't read them because... I just assume every review of mine will be a bad review.
We're not talking about the SKPs. We're talking about Full Crew of the Boys. And we'll start with Ms. Mare, who said, after training the house down in the off-season, the boys are back stronger than ever. Week after week, they not only turn up to podcasts, but they come out of the stats lab firing. And after Normie did a dropout on the full, Sid and Former have dug deep, given 110%, and have really backed themselves. Sid and Former are consistently the better team on the day and tick all the boxes. It's a dead set certainty and over the black dot for me. Full credit to the boys.
Oh, what a great review.
Jeez. Buy more T-shirts from that lady.
We've said it week in, week out.
This from Phil Man, who wrote...
Visit Met Inc.
As a bloke who struggles to watch a full 80 minutes, this is a religious listening. Subscribe! Exclamation mark. And then unsubscribe, then subscribe. Then. Two blokes who are passionate about the sport. Makes all the shows on Nine and the repeats on the Fox League channel sound like you're listening to 2 dozen Forrest Gumps.
Nice. Who said that?
Phil Man.
Thank you, Phil Man.
Free entry into the next SKP's gig if you're interested.
Yeah, free entry. This Anzac Day at Randwick.
Probably get you a beer too if you're interested.
It is actually free.
So there you go. The leadership group, any news? Nothing?
No, they just pester me and I pester them and that's how we go.
Again, thanks to Shaywom for his Phil Sigsworth.
That was
interview.
Fantastic.
Any T-shirts left, Sid? Have you got anything?
I've got about 4 T-shirts left. Get on to www.fullcredittotheboys.bigcartel.com or something like that.
What do we say? The last 2?
Yeah.
Get the rooting pants. Last
2.
Oh,
yeah, I like that.
All right.
Yep.
So last 2 brought, we'll get the rooting pants. Now, if you are listening this deep in, please subscribe, then unsubscribe.
Yes.
How many times this week, Sid?
At least 40.
I mean, it's Anzac Day. Do it.
It's what the Anzacs would have wanted if you did it 80.
And as we head off into the distance, who has been your dickhead of the week?
Well, my dickhead of the week, I'm actually going to combine my dickhead and under the pump into one. So you go first with your dickhead.
All right, my dickhead. Sookie Kids.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Organisers of the Geelong Easter Egg Hunt at Geelong Showground on the weekend, they fleeced parents for $15 per kid on the condition that each kid could only come in on the Easter Egg Hunt and fill one bag full of Easter eggs.
Oh, what? Hang on.
Nah, but it's the Sookie Kids that are the dickheads of the week, because on the way out, one of the supervisors, clearly on a weekend off from the young Hitler youth duties, made some of these fat little kids put their eggs back when they walked out of the gate with too many eggs, which then made them cry. Organiser Teresita Verfuth was then subjected to threats of having her face slapped for intervening and was called Slanty Eyes because she's Filipino. One parent was also upset that the kids...
This is a great story.
One parent was also that upset because the kids were given bags that had Merry Christmas on them and not Happy Easter.
You got to bitch and moan and complain about a free bag.
But it's the Sookie kids, seriously.
Oh, there's so much wrong with this story.
You little fat kids, stop eating Easter eggs.
Put them back. Go buy a Full Credit to the Boys show bag.
So who's your dick hat and under pressure?
Well, this is a story I got told this week. My mate Steve, who picked up a Tinder date Saturday night, he went to the bathroom and returned to the bedroom to see his date naked all fours, ready to go. She turned to him and said, "Now, none of your fancy stuff, Steve. Just horse it into me."
Is that for real?
This is a true story. I'm not sure in this scenario who's the dick at, but I definitely know old Steve was under the pump. I didn't want to tell that story, but anyway, it's there now.
Shout out to Steve.
Yeah.
And as we look ahead, Sid, I'll tell you who's under the pump.
Under the pump?
There's three joint nominations this week for under the pump.
Go for it.
North Korean President Sun Yang.
Yeah.
US President Donald Trump.
Okay.
And Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Yep.
Who are about to start a world war and threaten humanity right at the time the Tigers have appointed a decent coach.
Oh, it's always something with the Tigers. Always something ruins our season.
Don't stuff this up, you three dickheads.
I wouldn't worry about the papier-mâché missiles from North Korea. All right, we'll be fine.
If you're listening this deep in, we apologise for Sid's racist joke that didn't make it on air. We apologise.
It didn't make it.
Steve's story that did make it on air.
Yeah, I apologise for that.
And we'll head off into the distance. So until then,
it's good night from me.
And it's Merry Anzac Day from me.
Bye-bye.